Blue Wire.
Let's park the ship.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Okay, welcome back to Puck Bunnies. It's me, Audrey. I'm here with Christina. Yes, I have recovered from the flu. I'm allowed back on the podcast. I have survived quarantine. And Christina did not leave me in Nashville. We had a great time. We did not make it to the Preds game due to various illnesses that were my fault. But we had a great time. Nonetheless, saw our buddies. And now we're back and we are blessed, highly favored, so pleased to welcome Dmitry Filipovich to the podcast tonight. Host of the PDO cast, Yahoo Sports, Twitter, the internet in general, a content creation master. Dim, welcome to the show. We are so happy to have you.
What's going on, guys?
So, last 48 hours, can we get a vibe check? How are you doing?
Well, you know what? I'm generally like so obsessed with refreshing my Twitter feed and just even though there's nothing happening, but I felt like...
Oh, yeah, definitely cannot relate.
During those couple of days, it was just like, I was like afraid to nap. I was like, just like, I'm going to miss a trade. And it was, I mean, the world will go on even if you miss something, but I'm just happy that that we can get back to not caring about every single minute on Twitter. So
yeah, it's pretty nice to not have like that feeling in your stomach where you're like, oh God, anything could happen at any minute. I want to start by just saying this was supposed to be a pretty quiet trade deadline, all things considered. Yeah. As in, everybody was constantly saying, the players on the board are dog shit. They don't matter. Yeah. Who cares? Like, Chris Kreider is the top of the heap, and that's not saying much. And then we had a more eventful day than I think pretty much everybody was expecting. What happened?
I will say, though, but all the players are still dog shit.
Nothing changed.
That's the issue. Yeah. So, like, I think that both things can be right. Like, we had an eventful day full of dog shit.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Whenever I talk to someone who, like, doesn't really follow hockey closely, they're like, oh, like, what's going on? I tell them how busy I am with the trade deadline. And they're like, oh, did something important happen? And I'm like,
no.
Not really? A lot of third liners and third pairing defensemen got moved. But for some reason, we care about this because I guess we're the stupid ones. I don't know. Teams were getting feisty. There was a lot of stuff happening. I think the most interesting trade that actually didn't wind up happening was the Islanders, Lou, just going full Lou and trying to potentially get Zach Parise and his atrocious contract. So it was a fun day.
So I was just watching Bob McKenzie on like Wednesday Night Hockey on NBC. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that the whole Lou Lamoriello thing is maybe because he hates when his business is aired publicly. And he just like freaked out and was like, oh, they're talking about the trade. So now I can't do it.
Wait, I didn't pay attention to this storyline. What was his business that got aired publicly? Just his trades?
They were talking about how Parise was going to get moved for Andrew Ladd's contract. And then as soon as that came out, I guess he was like, no, everyone knows about it. It's not going to happen now.
And Zach Parise's dad used to play for Lou Lamoriello, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he played, for the Islanders. And he similarly got traded from like the Minnesota North Stars to the Islanders.
So it's like a good old family hockey story, I guess, that didn't end up happening.
So to me, that is the real story behind the story of the trade deadline, because I'm looking at all these trades and I'm like, some of these don't make sense. Why would you trade Wayne Simmonds to Buffalo? And I guess, is it because some front office people are just friends and they're like, let's shuffle around these really bad players and just...
That's literally the nutshell of the NHL is, I'm friends with this guy, so I'm going to...
The definitive Alex Galchenyuk experience, I think, is really what it is. It's just, maybe he just needs a change of scenery and like it'll all work out for him.
Once you enter the NHL and you make friends with someone, like, you're going to be in it for life.
But I was looking at some of these trades, and so some of them are like for 7th round conditional picks in like 2 years. And I'm like, if someone traded me for that, I would kill myself immediately. And then I'm just like, so what is the point of even doing something like that? So I got into hockey like 2 years ago, and this is the, so I don't really get it. It's like, what is the point of all these little bitty shitty trades?
I think it's all like, you just want to have people around that you're friends with. You look at what like the Oilers did. I actually like them going and getting Athanasiou and getting Tyler Ennis to help McDavid. But like, it's Ken Holland bringing in Mike Green and Andreas Athanasiou, who he brought to Detroit. So it's like,
I just like having
just
those
like
guys around.
I want to bring them
might
back.
Might as well.
Get the band back together.
That is
it's
so dumb.
Intangibles, baby.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Probably like Dim's favorite thing is talking about intangibles.
Yes. Yes.
What is your favorite trade of the deadline? Like sneaky, the one that people are not talking about.
I don't know. It's Twitter. Everyone's talking about everything. I think like the most important one was Robin Leonard going to Vegas because I think they're actually really good and they needed a goalie because Fleury hasn't been playing that well. So I think that's the most important one. But like, it's not going under the radar because everyone is kind of aware of how big of a trade it is.
That's
going
to be a nuts duo. I have had trouble wrapping my head around that just because it seems so unfair to the rest of the league. And also, like, there couldn't be two more disparate personalities in terms of goalies out there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out dynamic-wise also.
Yeah. And you don't really see teams, like, trade for goalies at this point because usually if you're a good team, you probably already have a good goalie. But Fleury's been struggling a little bit.
There were two goalie trades. Vancouver trades
for Dominguez.
Yeah, well, Markstrom's out for a month, unfortunately, so I think they needed like a insurance policy, but that's a less important one, I think.
I can't imagine like trading for a goalie this late in the season. You should have done that in December, but you got to move when people are
ready. It's also the last month has been so brutal in terms of injuries that I think it's also important to remember that at this point, you can load up as many players as you want. Like, there's no limit on how many players you can sign as long as you're within your cap space. So you can be like a Division III football team and just have like 90 guys on the sideline as long as they're making $50 a day. It doesn't matter.
But just think about the concept of the deadline. It's like the ultimate, most relatable, like cramming for an exam type of thing where it's like all these guys have all season to trade for these players. And then it's like, no, you have to do it by Monday, the last Monday of February by noon. And it's like, everyone's like, oh my God, we got to make these crazy trades. Why didn't you do this months ago?
Do you think that general atmosphere is what got people like, holy shit, you know what? We're just going to do it. Fuck it. We're going to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like, especially if let's say you're Tampa Bay and Boston and you're probably going to play each other in round two. If you're Boston and you see Tampa Bay go out and acquire Blake Coleman, you're like, oh crap, we better do something. So then they go and get Andre Kasha, and then Boston and then Tampa Bay is like, oh, we need something else. So they go and get Barkley Goodrow. It's like teams just trying to one up each other.
Something also very funny about the trade deadline to me is how quickly they will play after they get traded. I honestly wonder if it's someone's job to be like, whisk these tiny boys away to their new home. Like, Audrey, you tweeted about one where
Santa comes
playing.
And picks them up in his sled and takes them to Ottawa. Yeah, but yeah, there were two guys at the Sens game last night who I think the puck dropped probably at like 7:15 and one of them got there at like 7:09, put all his gear on, missed the warm-up, and just like was on the bench because the Sens offloaded so many dudes on Monday that there were like seven guys on the bench and that was it. It was so brutal looking.
Jeez,
I think they had also it was like the Sens Columbus game on Monday, and I think they had like Rudolph Spalser, as they called him up because they traded all these guys, and then his equipment I think didn't come to the rink on time, so he was just hanging out there, but he didn't have his equipment, so he couldn't play, and he's just
can't do anything. I'm just filling the seats,
just gonna eat some popcorn in the stands, hang out,
just chilling.
I'm sure there were tons and tons of people at the Ottawa Senators Columbus Blue Jackets game on Monday anyway.
Oh my god. So do you want to talk about, I mean, this is so typical, but like the winners and losers, because I actually think Ottawa, big winner of the trade deadline. I'm so excited for the summer. I feel so geeky thinking about all their draft picks, but holy shit.
Are you guys gonna go to Montreal for the draft?
Oh yes sir. Nice. We'll be there.
Oh yeah.
I think
we're gonna get drafted.
I think all the rebuilding teams like Montreal, the Devils, the Red Wings, the Senators, they all have so many draft picks now. I think in the first three rounds they account for like a third of the picks or something. It's crazy. So yeah, I mean, if you're a bad team, this is like your time of season to shine. Just get all these draft picks and view them as lottery tickets, and maybe one of them will pan out.
I think there's a chance that like Ottawa is gonna pick back to back or something.
That is so cool. I don't trust Eugene Melnyk to like make the best out of this, but I trust Brady Tkachuk's just spirit to guide them in the right direction. Because like, I think that their GM is very shrewd, and I think he made a lot of really shrewd, I think he flipped Pagot for like the right amount of people, which is a lot of boys per player. I just want them to be good so bad, because I love it when terrible teams pull something together.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, imagine if your boss, in his case, it's like Melnyk's like, let's spend as little money as humanly possible. And it's like, but we need to still have a competitive NHL team. Kind of a loser.
How badly do you want to keep sucking?
Yeah.
Well, they can't. I don't think they can keep giving away stars. I mean, like, they have to invest in somebody. They obviously, they're not going to invest in Pagot. So, I mean, they have like two people there that like people know their names.
I think they made the Eastern Conference final in 2017. They've basically traded literally every single person since then.
That is insane to me.
They have team photo from 2017 where they blacked out every player who's been traded, and it's dark. It's very grim. Yeah.
It's literally dark. It's all blacked out.
Sens, promising. Were there any other teams? Like, there were lots of sellers yesterday, obviously. Were you surprised by any teams that offloaded as deeply as they did?
Not really. I felt like most of the team, like, if anything, I was surprised that the Rangers, for example, didn't trade Kreider and they decided to sign him instead. So I thought, like, that was kind of surprising. I was surprised that the Avalanche didn't go more all in with this team and try to, they basically just added Vlad Namestnikov. I think that wasn't nearly enough. So.
And Leafs superstar Michael Hutchinson.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Gotta shore up the net.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it was actually a pretty reasonable for NHL standards. There wasn't anything that was, like, too crazy, I think. It was a pretty reasonable trade deadline.
I have to say that the thing that surprised me is that nothing worked out with Joe Thornton. Mm. And it clearly surprised him as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think it sounds like he wanted to move. And I think the Sharks wanted to move him, but I think the teams that he would wanted to go to weren't interested in him. It's like he wasn't getting that like love back. He was sending out some vibes, but he wasn't receiving them from the other team.
Wasn't receiving the vibes back.
Dallas ghosted him. They let him on.
Christina
a little.
Was
yeah,
so
I mean,
excited for like a good 2 hour stretch. She was like, "Oh my god, Joe Pavelski and Joe Thornton, they're going to be back together. It's going to be great." And it didn't
but
happen.
But I think he wanted too much money from them. Yeah, like I think they were kicking the tires basically. But then he was like, "I'm old, but I want a lot of money," and they were like, "Fuck off! We already
have
too many old guys."
You know what Dallas needs? Dallas needs one more really old guy who's not as good as he was a couple years ago.
You know what? I think Rick Bonus is just desperate for another very old man.
All
to put
I
on
want,
the first line.
I want Joe Pavelski, I want Corey Perry, and I want Joe Thornton all on the ice at the same time. Dallas is retiring at home. Let's go.
He would do it. He would do it. I'm going to talk about this for 1 second, and then we can talk about the actual trade. 7 points last night. The Baby scored 7 points, and they are never going to play enough time. Anyway,
how many minutes did they play last night?
You're talking about Hintz and Guriana?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they played like 12 minutes or something.
It's insane. Dennis has got to be on the
anyway.
It's
load management, Christina.
Well, they need to manage it a little better. The other one that I just felt sorry for was, God, Anaheim just got decimated. Just picked over. But I mean, I know that they needed to, and this is a great starting off point for them if they can pull it together. But oh my god, I can't imagine going into a locker room and being like, oh well, I guess everyone.
Well, it's really awkward for Getzlaf. I think he's like the only guy left there, and then it's just a bunch of guys. He's like the Steve Buscemi, like, how do you do, fellow kids, and all the rookies are like,
I don't even like him, and I feel sorry for
I know.
Him.
It's weird for him. But I think Anaheim, they're in a decent spot in the sense that they suck right now, but they have a lot of flexibility, a lot of draft picks. I think they'll be okay. I don't know. It's not the end.
They have
the
some good prospects coming up too,
and they have a young coach.
Here's the thing, is I think that California should be canceled since all of their teams are horrible, and one of them should be given to Texas. I'm just like floating it out there. I don't think Canada needs three teams either. California definitely doesn't need three teams because they obviously just can't support them.
It's rough going out there right now.
But I do feel super bad for Joe Thornton because in the interviews you can tell, which is rare for NHL stars to show emotion, but he's probably going to retire this season, right?
I don't know. We'll see. Like San Jose thinks that this was just a fluke and they're going to be good again next year based on how they're talking. Like, that, I'm serious. They legitimately think that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. But I mean, yeah, especially with Marlowe going to Pittsburgh.
How do you talk yourself into that? How do you talk yourself into, like, this is going to be okay if you're an analytics person on the San Jose Sharks?
I mean, they kind of don't have any other choice. Like, look at how much money they're paying Burns and Vlasic and Couture and all these guys until, like, the end of time. Even if they admitted, like, oh, we actually suck now.
What are you
going to
do about it?
Do, so.
Yeah.
Write an open letter to your fans about the rebuild process.
I was literally just about to say, I'm like, I'm working through a lot of stuff in therapy, so I think I'm projecting onto these very bad teams right now. Like, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Now we're going to take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all things sports. March Madness, the Masters, and Major League Baseball opening day are really coming up, guys. And BetOnline has you covered for all of your latest news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. And the best part is, if you sign up, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. Head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code BLUEWIRE to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That promo code is BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I think that the teams that needed to make the moves. I think some of them didn't make
them. Oh, are you talking about
like what is
the Toronto Maple Leafs, maybe?
The club known as the Toronto Maple Leafs? How are you not going to add anything on defense?
And it was a very like under-talked about storyline. Like no one in hockey media was talking about the Leafs or what they
were doing. No, nobody cares about them.
It's bizarre.
We got to get some more
and then like
the
Muzzin news comes out this morning. It's just like doubly fucked.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose to a Zamboni driver, it's kind of tough to save face after that.
What did you think of that game?
I thought it was hilarious. I haven't had that much fun watching a game in a long... It was so funny, too, because, like, you know, they scored on their first two shots on him, and I really genuinely felt bad for the guy. I was like,
yeah,
I almost can't watch this. And then Carolina was playing so well and just stopping them from doing anything, and then it was like, oh, my God, he's actually going to win. And it was just, like, so funny. It was like everyone was in on the joke, and even Leafs fans can't help but just be, like, sad and laugh at ourselves. It was great.
I loved seeing him go off, and this is David Ayers that we're talking about. I loved seeing him skate off at the beginning of the first intermission and getting stick taps from Freddie Anderson and everybody. That was really sweet. And I was watching it with my roommate, who's like not a hockey person at all, but I was like, you need to come downstairs and watch this game. Like, something insane is happening. And he was totally pulled in. I'm like, how can you not love that?
Yeah, and everyone, it feels like it's really sort of like a pop culture mainstream topic. Like, he's on Stephen Colbert. Like, I've had people who don't follow hockey at all messaging me like, hey, have you heard of this David Ayers guy? I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of it. But obviously, it's so NHL that now the entire discussion's like, how do we make sure that never happens again?
Please hate my sport. Please hate it as much as me. I have to say, almost my favorite part of the entire night was watching Kyle Dubas do a complete, like, 180 heel turn. Like, he was pissed at that game. Like, he just sweeps out. He's just, like, a diva about it. And I'm just like, oh, he's going to go ruin this now. And then a week later,
he was,
of course,
like, in the booth texting Gary, make it stop.
We lost this old man. But the other thing that I feel like people are talking about that game is that they were making sure he was not facing any shots that he didn't absolutely have to. And I'm like, why don't you just play this hard every game also?
Yeah, Carolina's a weird team. And I guess tying into our trade deadline discussion, they were probably the busiest team, right? They got Brady Shea, they got Sammy Vatanen, they got Vincent Trocheck. Like, they made some good moves. I know it didn't work out against Dallas in their first game together, but I really liked all those moves for them.
Hi, Bunnies. First time, long time. Cannot wrap my head around the number of boys it takes to get more and different boys, and I need your help. I also want your take on my sweetest baby boy, Brady Shea. Please help.
I think
the Brady Shea thing is really interesting. And we got a couple of calls today that were just like, can you explain Brady Shea to me? Is he actually worth what they're paying him? Is he just a rental piece? Because I think he's a decent defenseman who has been surrounded by really awful defensemen for his entire career as a New York Ranger. And maybe in Raleigh, he's going to get a shot with a better group of people around him. I'm simply speculating based on...
Is he just a pretty face?
He skates really fast. Something. He's weird because, like, when he burst on the scene, I think 3 or 4 years ago, he was, like, the shiny new toy, and everyone was like, oh, my God, this guy's awesome. He needs to play more. And then he started playing more, but he started playing with, like, Adam McQuaid. And this year, he's playing with Jacob Trouba in, like, the toughest minutes possible. And so, you know, they didn't really put him in a position to succeed. So, for Carolina, I think that organization is going to do a better job of putting him in that position to succeed. He's already playing with Slavin, which is a great spot for him. So, I don't know. I think he'll be better in Carolina.
What's so weird to me is, like, reading about how that trade happened. Like, apparently, the only way that they had the space to trade for Brady is because they bought out Patrick Marleau's contract, like, this summer. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Why does it work like this?
Rearranging deck chairs.
But, like, it's so funny how, I don't know, it's just, like, one of those things where it's totally luck. Yes, they had to have done that this summer to have the space to do it now. But they had to do it now since Brett Pesce's out for, like, what, a month?
Well, the best thing about that trade is that Shayna Goldman was the one that broke it on Twitter.
Yes, Queen Shayna.
Oh,
Insider Shayna. I love that.
Yeah.
I know.
She gave us a Shayna bomb. Speaking of the NHL being dumb, you're talking about, like, the Marleau and how they make, like, the financial logistics work. Do you guys see that four teams now are paying Ilya Kovalchuk?
That rocks.
It's so great. Obviously I'm biased, but I was like, this is such a great move by the Caps because they're paying nothing and they're just throwing Kovalchuk onto this team and being like, have a good time. Just do your thing. See what happens.
Hang out with your Russian buds.
I don't think they necessarily needed any, like, forward depth. I wish they had maybe traded for another defenseman, but they just went for it and they're paying him pennies.
Yeah, it was really funny. They like had so little money that Montreal had to retain half of it, so they were only paying them like $35,000 or something.
Oh my god.
It's pretty legit. Yeah, I mean, for that price, it's nothing. Like, why not?
How did they get Montreal to retain any of his salary? How does that work? I'm sorry, that's a dumb question.
You can retain up to 50% of the player's salary, and for Montreal, they have the cap space now that it doesn't matter, whereas Washington is like literally has like pennies available.
So would you do that to then almost do something like the Hurricanes did? Where you take on someone else's debt now and then they'll get you back later? Is that what it is?
Yeah, usually you pay a team. So like, you know, they only gave up a third for Kovalchuk. I don't know if they could have gotten better, but basically let's say they probably would have given them a fourth, but instead Montreal's like, we'll make it work financially. We'll keep some of his money, give us a better draft pick instead, basically. So that's how it works.
Oh.
Sacrificing money that you're not using now for future considerations.
Exactly.
I saw one trade was just for future considerations. So that's just be like, just take this awful boy off our hands.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the future considerations are like pure nonsense trades. Yeah, let's just give us something. It could be a bag of pucks later. It could
we'll worry about it down the road.
A burrito bowl. Well, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, give me the corpse of this like Albertan farm boy that plays on like the last defensive pairing. And we'll just pay you $5 for him later. Like sending something to the glue factory.
Which brings me to Patrick Marleau.
Oh
no, like I like him so much as a person and as a player. He's awesome. He reminds me a lot of like Brooks Orpik. Yeah. And to see him go to Pittsburgh is really confusing to me. I'm not sure what Jim Rutherford's goal was there. Oh,
they gotta get
like,
slower.
He just wanted him back.
I think he just wanted like to have Patrick Marleau around. He just seems like a really good guy. Like, I don't think he's going to play that much on this Penguins team. Just good to have in the locker room, posting wholesome family photos. It just seems like a good time. Like, why not?
I also think he probably thought that going back to San Jose, that he was not going to be playing a lot. It was just going to be a fun locker room guy. I swear to God. And that's actually why you're on this show, is because we were messaging about how awful it is that he's on the first line. Every time I saw him, he has this really strange smile in his composite picture for the NHL, and I was just like, my
let
heart
him
would
rest
break him, I'm like, let him go to bed. He's the oldest man that's ever lived.
Yeah, every time you look at him on the bench, he'd have the face of like, I didn't sign up for this.
This is not what I wanted. I mean, I would also, as much as it pains me to say it, jump at the chance to go to Pittsburgh and just hang out with guys that you used to know from way back.
People you used to mentor before you became
ancient.
Yeah, and he has a chance to win a cup. Like, for him, it makes sense. I mean, why not?
I have not paid any attention to Pittsburgh this season because I don't like them. So people consistently rank Jim Rutherford as just sort of this like four-dimensional chess kind of guy in terms of like making trades, where he's obsessed with getting older and bigger and slower. And I mean, like, to me, this is just another one of his little gambits. And so why do people think he's smart? Is it just because Sid is so good that he can make all of his decisions look better in hindsight?
I mean, the one thing I'll give Jim Rutherford credit for is, and it's a unique trait amongst NHL GMs, like, he's willing to admit when he's made a mistake, which I know it sounds like silly. Oh, like,
no,
what
the bar is very low.
Most of these GMs, they like sign someone or they trade for someone and then they'll just ride it into the ground rather than admitting that it's a sunk cost and they shouldn't have done it in the first place. And with him, he makes a lot of those mistakes. So maybe it'd be better if he didn't have to admit it so often, but at least he's willing to kind of like pull the plug and move on. And so that's like, I think one of his best qualities as a GM.
My iPhone came up with "Remember this day a year ago," and it was like the Jack Johnson, Eric Goodbranson trade.
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh, you mean the best day of my life?" Yes.
Oh my! So good.
Wait, is Eric Goodbranson still on the Ducks?
As far as I'm aware,
he's a vet now.
Yeah, him and Michael Delzato.
Oh my! Now Michael Delzato is playing. He's on like
Stanley
the third
Cup
pairing.
Champion Michael Delzato to you.
That's right. Oh my.
Do you know how important it was to me that he not only had a day with a cup, his name
right.
is on the cup. His name is on the cup, and Connor McDavid's name is never going to be on the cup. And that to me
it's
is
poetry.
Just, that's life
poetry.
Right there.
He's a legend. When he came here to Vancouver and he signed like for a lot of money with the Canucks a couple years ago, he was like,
of course.
His claim to fame was being the locker room DJ, which is like
DJ MDZ.
Such a random thing. Yeah, I love it.
Did you ever...
Audrey has to cut me off.
No,
I
am also
going to
talk about him for just like two more seconds. But after the Blues won the Cup and they went to Vegas, there is this incredible picture of Michael Delzato standing next to Pat Maroon at some like pool in Vegas at some party. And the difference between those two men's physiques is incredible. Yeah. And it's just because it's like, yeah, Michael Delzato hasn't played since March, and he spent all that time just running bleachers, like, obviously.
He's, like, shredded. And Pat Maroon is just, like, a furnace.
Yes, chubby but effective, yeah.
I hope Pat Maroon wins another Stanley Cup. Like, that would be really fun for me if he got, like, two in a row. I would love that for
him. He's got a good chance. Tampa Bay is really good this year.
Audrey doesn't like to talk about Tampa they're fine. Bay. Would you like to tell him why? No, I would like you to tell him why you don't like to talk about Tampa.
Because every time we talk about Tampa Bay, you remind me that last year I was like, they're going to win the cup. They're going to win. But everybody was saying that. Everyone was saying this. Yeah.
But I like to make fun of you. So it was a really big moment for me whenever Columbus swept them. But I feel like I can't trust them to be good.
That's what the narrative is going to be this year. Everybody's going to be like, can they reverse the curse or whatever.
Speaking of trades that, like, didn't happen, I know that Chris Kreider was very much talked about in terms of going to Tampa Bay. I think it would have been great. Do you think that, I guess the price ended up just being too high for them to actually
Did you have any theories about where he was going to go?
Yeah, well, it sounded like he was going to go to the Bruins, but then they traded for Andre Kasha because they wanted to move back as his contract. I thought he'd go to Colorado. I thought that would have been a really
That's what I wanted.
Fit. But it sounds like they just didn't want to pay all of those draft picks and prospects. And I think he wanted to stay in New York, and they kind of found that middle ground where he's making less, but he gets that seventh extra year in New York. So I kind of
7 years.
Well. 7 years.
I know. For someone who's going to be like 35, I'm sure that'll age well.
I cannot believe, like, when I saw the number, I was insane.
I was talking to Manny about it. I was talking to Manny about it on Monday, and Manny's like, I feel like he's going to spend 5 of those years injured.
Can you imagine making a 7-year commitment to anyone in this economy? It's crazy.
Chris, the world could end tomorrow.
One time, Audrey asked me about something that I was doing during the weekend, which was like a day later, and I told her, and I quote, I don't like to think about the future right now. So no, I cannot imagine thinking 7 years ahead. I look at some of these contracts these guys sign, and that they're given, like Backstrom, he's like, he got what, 7 years?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think he's 32. Like maybe 6 or something. Don't worry about it. He's really old.
And this is how you get into a situation like the Sharks are now, where you're just like totally tied down to 3 guys who are made of glass. So some background for you. I came to hockey from like basketball, where contracts are normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the concept of a 7-year contract is insane to me.
I know.
And I'm so glad that they're going down in popularity because players are seeing the value in bridge deals.
Well, it's tough, though, because, like, on the one hand, I agree with you. Like, if I was a player, I'd bet on myself and sign a 2 or 3 year deal because the cap is going up every year and there's inflation. But at the same time, like, mm-hmm. if you get a concussion and all of a sudden you can, like, never play again, like, that could literally happen any single game. So for a lot of these guys, it's like, yeah, I'll take these $40 million now and worry about it later. Why not? So,
you know what? Who's to say? Is hockey good or bad?
It's bad. I think we can all agree it's bad. And, okay, so the remaining mystery to me that I keep, and I'm literally watching the Sabres right now, is what is the Wayne Simmonds thing about? Was it a personal thing? Did he want to be
Buffalo.
In Buffalo? Was it like, because I know like he's from Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I think he wanted to stay out east because of his like family and his dogs and everything. And he waived his no trade clause to go there. I thought the funniest part of that was, I think Buffalo's giving a conditional 5th round pick. And then there's a clause, if they make the playoffs this year, it becomes a 4th. Imagine being on that phone call when Jason Botterill is like, yeah, let's put this clause in place. Like, I'd be like laughing so hysterically. Oh, if you make the playoffs this year? Oh, okay. Yeah.
It should not be legal for them to use that in like a binding document. What a joke.
As a lawyer, I don't think that's valuable consideration.
No, but also, you know, they're like, the Wednesday night hockey game in America right now on NBC is the Avs and the Sabres. But Eddie Olczyk at the beginning was like, oh, you know, the Sabres, they're really working hard to pull it together. Like, if they go on a run here, they're going to be in a playoff contention position. And I was like, who are you trying to fool here? You don't have to do this.
It'd be like a 10-game run.
Which they did last year.
Yeah, they did it this year, too. 2 straight years.
I wish they could just do it for, like, longer periods.
For 82 games, yeah.
How many total games have the Red Wings won this year? 11?
They've won 4 against Montreal, and then they've won, like, 12 total or something like that.
So whenever I think about teams getting traded to Buffalo, I think about how whenever they trade new guys to Edmonton, they always let them play, like, their first game.
With McDavid,
game. Yeah. Imagine you, like, going to Buffalo. All right, you're going to go play with Jack Eichel. But it's like you're being thrown into hell because he just screams at you and he's, like, not nice. It's, like, the opposite experience. He had, like, both coasts. I don't know. It's just...
They're both good at hockey. I'm sure they bond over that.
They probably don't actually.
The famous
have
common
to
ground.
About, yeah. being white and dumb.
But speaking of McDavid, you did mention the couple of acquisitions that the mm-hmm. Oilers made. And I was actually pretty impressed by those choices. A lot of speed. The other Tyler Ennis, the non-basketball Tyler Ennis.
Yep.
And to have those two guys be able to skate circles around literally everybody else on that team, except for like Leon Draisaitl, I guess, is going to be good for them.
And also Mike Green, very handsome.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I mean, the bar for them to clear was solo. Like McDavid in his most recent game was playing with like Sam Gagner and Alex Chiasson, who are like literally the two slowest players in the league. And then they add Athanasiu and Ennis. And it's like, I don't think these guys are great in their own right. But when you compare them, relatively speaking, like it's like McDavid just got out of the worst relationship ever. And then now, like, he's getting some modicum of just, like, his new partner's treating him like just like
took him out
person.
To one
he's
nice
like, oh,
dinner.
I want to marry Athanasiu and be with him for the rest of my life. This is great. So
he got called first once. He's like, oh my God. I look at some of these names and I'm just like, God, who are these people? And that's all of Edmonton's roster. So these were like slightly more.
I will always be an Alex Chiasson stan because he was in the first real gloves off hockey fight I ever saw in person, and it was him and Brandon Manning, and this was when Brandon Manning was a Flyer, I want to say, and so then they both ended up in Edmonton like 2 years later.
Beautiful.
And they're both awful in very different ways, but
yes,
one of them says slurs.
I wonder what it feels like to be a hockey player and people like just ragging on your trade, being like, God, that guy's terrible. Do they read it, you think?
Of course they all do. 100%.
We were just talking about that today, how it's almost human nature now to like go looking for information that you know will hurt you. So like, why would you not Google your name or search your name on Twitter or anything like that?
I guess my reaction to that is, well, you are being paid millions of dollars, but also maybe I should be nicer to the boys. No. I'm not going to be nicer, but I'll think about it.
Well, they all want to be loved.
Christine is evening it out by just tweeting about Kevin Hayes every other day. So,
okay. I wanted to come on the show to clear the air here. What's going on with this Kevin Hayes stuff?
Kevin Hayes.
What's your guys' relationship with Kevin Hayes?
We don't have one yet, but we would like to.
I love that we have tweeted about Kevin Hayes so much that you're like, I need to figure this out. No, there is no relationship that I have with Kevin Hayes other than that. Number one, I know a couple things about Kevin Hayes. He's tall, he's single, and he name searches.
The three most important
so
qualities
I figure,
in someone.
Yeah, like people ask me, what am I looking for in a man? Well, those three things, and like, has money. So I just figure if I post psychotically at him long enough, he'll notice me.
There's no real reason for the Kevin Hayes thing besides we think he's funny.
Mm.
Okay, so we have this one friend who thinks he's just terribly unattractive.
He's an objectively strange-looking person.
That's cool. Fine. But so with Adam Driver, like, it takes all kinds. It started as a way to antagonize this friend where I would just be really horny for Kevin Hayes at her. And now I've convinced myself.
We've talked ourselves into it.
I've incepted myself into liking
Kevin
Hayes.
He's having an incredible season.
He is, yeah.
So
I can't believe how well that worked out. I'm very shocked.
It's good stuff. And he's making so much money.
I know.
He is?
Do you remember? He got traded from the Jets to the Flyers over the summer.
Yeah, so they could sign him.
I do remember that Flyers fans were like, why are we giving this man so much money? And now they're like, we should be giving Kevin Hayes more money.
The last thing I will say about Kevin Hayes, have you seen him in person?
I have, yeah. He's really tall.
But he looks more normal in person. Mm-hmm. Anyway, any final thoughts, everybody, about Kevin Hayes or otherwise?
I wanted to ask Dim, as a West Coast resident, we're seeing this huge ongoing discrepancy between the Eastern and the Western Conference, and it's pissing a lot of people off as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Are there any teams that you are personally going to be disappointed to see make the playoffs this year because of that?
Like most of the Pacific Division? I'd like anyone other than Vegas basically probably shouldn't be making it. I don't know. It's like an anomaly. I think next year will even out again, but it kind of sucks for like Columbus or Philadelphia or Carolina or whoever misses out East because they can only have eight teams, whereas you're going to have like three bad Pacific Division teams in there.
Do you think that if we just cut 15 games off the season, how much do you think that would fix this problem? Because I feel like it's all injuries at this point. And I don't like the Stanley Cup being just like a gladiator battle for who's still standing by the end. That's boring.
Yeah, but they're never going to do that because they'd be just giving away money, right? Like, if anything, they're going to add games. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 85 to 90 games at some point. Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
No, please stop. We have to do one podcast a week. I just don't agree with that at all, because I would rather watch like healthy teams play each other, and I don't think it's good for the league at large, but I don't make any money off of it. So,
final question, Cale Makar versus Quinn Hughes, what team are you on?
I think Hughes has been the better player this year.
Oh, so this is your Vancouver bias coming through. I see it. It's fine. No,
Quinn
I know.
Is better.
I'm kidding.
I think he has been a bit better, but they're both amazing.
I also think it's harder for to perform at that level with the Canucks than it is for Cale Makar to be really, really good with the Avs.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, Hughes plays tougher minutes. He plays more, plays with worse players.
He plays
players.
With Chris Tanev.
Like Makar's in such a good spot. He's like, yeah, just ride shotgun with Nathan MacKinnon all the time. Have fun. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet job.
Now, my final question to you is, how tense do you think it is at the Hughes home right now? Like, when they're all together?
It's really awkward.
I cannot imagine. Because, like, to me, they don't have the same kind of jocular energy as, like, Matt and Brady.
Right.
But also, they're both very good, so it's okay.
I think it's one of those things where, like, they both seem like really nice guys. So I think Quinn's like overcompensating to make him feel like he's not left out. But
I'll
then Jack
the
Hughes is like,
tonight, it's okay.
Jack Hughes is like, just treat me normally. Just treat me like your brother. And then
you don't have to act like I'm dying just because I'm on the Devils.
Yeah. That's terminal, though. Being on the Devils is a terminal disease. That's why Wayne had to leave.
People are going to start asking you this, and I hate to jump on this train. Playoff predictions. Matchup you would least want to see, matchup you would most want to see.
Most want to see Tampa Bay, Colorado would be really fun. I think we saw that game recently in Colorado and it was awesome. Worst one, I don't know. Do you guys have a worst one?
If I have to see the Bruins play the Leafs again, I will jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
If I have to see the Bruins again, ever. I don't want to see. If I have to see the Bruins in like the finals, I wouldn't like that. That would be really boring.
Yeah. Let's get Tampa Bay in there.
I hate saying it, but I'm also like, they've earned it.
My prediction, my lock right now, I'm doing my lock very early this season with you guys as my witness. Tampa Bay Stars, fine.
Manifest it.
Everyone
Manifest
would be so
it.
Mad. Can you imagine like how mad that would make the hockey guys? Like that would be the worst.
I think it would actually be Stars Canes would make people the angriest.
That would be pretty good.
Are we going to talk about The Bachelor at all?
Listen, what do you think about, can you give me your opinions on Peter? Just how bad do you think he is?
He's been shockingly bad.
Did you watch the season before?
Which one? The Coldens?
I mean, did you watch The Bachelorette?
Oh, yeah, Hannah Bees, yeah.
Didn't you think that he had, like, a little bit more just personality, though?
Charisma,
is his
anything?
Thing that he's boring? Like, is that it? He's not, like, a psycho manipulator or
he's
anything?
He's not just boring. He's, like, off-putting.
Yeah.
And he will just say things to them that are really weird. Also, the producers made all the girls who made it to the Fantasy Suite week sleep in the same hotel room. So, like, two of them are just hanging out at the hotel together while the other one's getting drilled by Peter the pilot.
That's awful.
So, like, they had to, like, really up the psychological
manipulation
this season.
That's very much, like, a sister-wife vibe that I don't love.
I mean, you've probably noticed just, like, the upping the drama this season, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I think they've kind of forced it in. And honestly, if I have to watch him dance one more time, I'm going to lose it. As a fellow white guy who also is not good at dancing, like, I can appreciate it, but he's, like, shockingly bad for how much he loves doing it.
That's awful.
Do you ever think about, okay, so like Audrey doesn't watch Bachelor, so whatsoever. So they always have these weird little musical guests, and they'll always be this C-list country singer that they, like the Bachelor and the date, randomly love. And if I was ever the Bachelorette, I don't know who they would have to get like the rap voice to like come and do.
An acoustic set,
like,
yeah.
Sound like pop. Yeah, pop acoustic set to play my date. Who would be your weird band date where they like, played a little song for you? Yeah.
I don't know. Chase Rice?
You can't pick him, but yeah.
Is that
like
the one that the girl dated? She was like, this is my ex.
Yes.
And that's so fucked up.
Okay, well, she didn't date him. She just, like, boinked him.
Yeah.
Something I thought a lot about is, like, NHL players should go on The Bachelor because it is really populated by NFL washouts.
Right.
And there are so many more washouts in hockey than there are in football. And
I've been saying this about Oliver Ekman Larson for literal years. He's very handsome. He's single. He's an appropriate age. He's got a beautiful Scottsdale property.
How long have you been watching?
I watched like a while back and then I took some time off and now I've been back in the past couple seasons.
The problem with the new seasons, the other one, is they're all so young.
Yeah, like there was the one girl, Natasha, this season. She was 31 and they were treating her like she was like from a retirement home. It was really bad.
I'm 27 and I'm like, holy shit, like I'm too old to go on The Bachelor. Like, this all is for nothing. Why did I start a hockey podcast? Like this is going to be my gimmick.
You got to start lying about your age. It's that simple.
So they always do like the pre-show things where they show you doing your little activities like in your hometown. Mm-hmm. And I was going to be like, I'm just going pucks deep for love. And then like it would have been perfect, but I'm too old. Anyway,
life goes on. Story. Dim, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to tell the people where to find you on the internet or not? Like you can remain a mystery.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Dim Filipovich. Go listen to the Hockeypedia cast. That's about it. This was fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for coming.
Call in with your questions or suggestions, life advice for next week's episode, you can hit our line at 774-318-6952. Please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or the platform of your choice, whatever. It's none of my business.
Write it in the sand on the beach. I don't fucking care. Take a picture. That'd be very beautiful.
You can follow us on Twitter at puckbunnies_pod or on Instagram at puckbunniespod. No underscore. Sorry. I'm going to get around to fixing it eventually.
If you want to give us some money, Dim can't have any, but it's all for us. Go to patreon.com/puckbunniespod.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Bye. Yes. Yeah, Dim, you're back next week.
Thank you.